Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in, and as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come and share this show, to come and listen to this show so that they can learn with us. There's too many things going on in this nation, and all of us must be informed, and we are so grateful for Chaplain Gordon Klingensmith. Hi, Chaps. How are you?
Hello, Diana. God bless you and your listeners in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Chaplain. I just love hearing you say that. And I titled today's show, Chaplain, with, does God hear when you pray in Jesus' name? And I'm thinking, that's something that the world does not realize. What a powerful tool, what a powerful gift from God for us to be able to come boldly to the throne of grace. And Alabama, I think a lot of other states are in the same boat, Chaplain, which is, our legislature is there trying to do the best they can. And fortunately, evil and good walk together. And there are those in our leadership, I'm sure, that's there for money. And there are those that hopefully are there to really serve the people. And I thank God that you are there to serve the people and remind us really of our heritage and that we must take a stand. So with that in mind, Chaplain, would you mind leading us in prayer?
You want me to read something?
I'm sorry, Chaplain. Would you mind starting us in prayer? We need God's help in this conversation.
Starting us in prayer, yes.
Thank you.
In fact, I was about to read something. It was almost like you were reading my mind. John 14:13, the scripture I'm going to read from the King James Bible, and I'm quoting Jesus Christ in John 14:13. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come to you. We come to the Father in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, that with the Holy Spirit, that the triune God, the one God manifest in three persons, will be honored and glorified and manifest in us, the church, as we reflect the character of Jesus Christ, as we embrace his values Father in heaven, we ask that in Jesus' name you would forgive our sins and heal our land and bring America back to righteousness and justice in the way that you intended and designed for America to be. God bless Diana and God bless the radio listeners today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Chaplain. That just puts me back on my bearings, you know. Without God, nothing in this world is worth really striving for. And thank God that he walks with us. And he says to come boldly to the throne of grace. And Chaplain, I know that you have been through a lot. But I thank God because of what he put you through, because of the resource and reminder that you are for the American people on how we have to stand. And that, you know, that praying in Jesus' name, that makes all the difference. And I know you've got a lot of concerns. I've looked at your website, and really it's just breathtaking how the enemy is just really working overtime in these end times. I think he knows it's the end time, and he's working overtime. So if you don't mind, share with us some of the things that you're very concerned with. And I see Mr. Wayne Wood with us, too. Hi, I'm just going to say hi to him before I... Mr. Wayne, Pastor Wayne Wood,
hey,
hi.
How you doing?
Chaplain is on with us. Chaplain Gordon Klingenschmidt. So we're going to go ahead and let him start us off with telling us some of his concerns. So go ahead, Chaplain.
Okay, Chaplain.
Hello, Wayne, and God bless you, and thank you for coming. I was going to direct people to my website, prayinjesusname.org. Again, that's prayinjesusname.org. Where we are fighting the battle for religious liberty on your behalf by delivering petitions to God and government. We send petitions to God in the form of prayer. It's a prayer website. We pray in Jesus' name to God. And we also deliver petitions to government. We send, in the last 4 years, about four million faxes to Congress in defense of pro-life, pro-marriage, pro-Israel, and pro-Jesus issues, and we do those automatically. When you sign the petition at prayinjesusname.org, we deliver those to Congress. For example, we're fighting right now for several issues, including religious freedom for the military, especially chaplains, who are under fire now because the Obama administration has forced open homosexuality upon the military, that the chaplains now are paying the price. The chaplains are being told they have to facilitate homosexual weddings in military chapels in all 50 states. They can opt out of personally presiding at the marriage ceremonies, but they have to turn over the keys to the chapel in all 50 states, whether it's the Protestant chapel, the Catholic chapel, for desecration of the Christian altar by sodomy in acts of sodomy that are legitimizing homosexual weddings in all 50 states. Excuse me, that's by order of the Obama administration, and their top lawyer in the Pentagon, Jay Johnson, has written a memo saying that chaplains do not have a choice, that they have to turn over the keys to their chapel for gay weddings. So we are fighting that. There's legislation, and Capitol Hill today is having a hearing on this, and they're debating this, whether to add Todd Akin, Christian Republican congressman from Missouri, is introducing an amendment to H.R. 1540. The amendment would protect military chaplains' freedom of conscience, and it would stop homosexual weddings from being imposed upon Christian chaplains and protect Christian chaplains' freedom of conscience. So call your senator today, call your congressman today at 202-225-3121, but especially sign the petition at prayinjesusname.org for military chaplains and their right to not facilitate homosexual weddings. That's the number one issue on our plate today. There's a hearing in Capitol Hill today about this specific issue. And we pray by the end of the day that amendment will be approved and added into the defense budget to protect military chaplains.
Yeah, I would hate to think we would have to have a Hanukkah for every military chapel after the holy altars of God have been desecrated through homosexual marriages. And for the listeners who don't realize, Hanukkah celebrates the re-cleansing and rededication of the temple in Jerusalem after the Seleucid Emperor Antiochus IV slaughtered a hog and desecrated the altar in the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem. And to have a homosexual wedding performed in a chapel which is used for Christian, Jewish, or even Islamic services is the equivalent of that type of desecration. It is such a sacrilege, such a blasphemy against the holy God. And this is being forced. It's sad.
Well, it violates all of our Christian troops, 85% of whom self-identify as Christian. It violates their right to a sacred worship space.
Mm-hmm.
They should be able to get away from the world, even when they're away from home or even if they're on a military base. Just because you join the military as a Christian does not mean you give up your right to have a sacred worship space. The courts have found that our troops are entitled under the First Amendment of the Constitution to access to a Christian chaplain. But now they won't have access to a Christian chapel where they can pray and get away from sexual sin, which is being promoted by the Obama administration, and now that sexual sin is being brought into the very same worship space, the very same chapel, where Christians and chaplains should have a right to their sacred space where they can worship God in privacy. It's a violation of all of our troops' rights.
It is particularly vital in the military, where you have very little privacy and where you give up so much. It is particularly vital that you have a place to go where you can seek God. And it's very important that the chaplain be respected. People in civilian life, it's hard if you've never served in uniform. And I did 12 years active reserve myself and grew up as an Army brat. People don't realize what a vital role the chaplain plays to the entire military community, over and above as a spiritual leader. And he can do this, he or she can do this, because of the peculiar spiritual role they play in the military. It's just a unique position they have. And it's interesting that a chaplain has no real command authority, but there are very few people in the military that traditionally have had more power at their hands than a chaplain. If you've got a problem, you go to the chaplain. And I see this as a move to hamstring that. And it's sad that if soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marine lose that sanctuary, that oasis, as it were, where they could go and be ministered to, not only spiritually, but in many temporal ways because of your unique position in the military. It's really damaging to the freedom and the well-being of our troops. And I don't know, without going into a long lecture or whatever, but if you've been in the military, if you've worn a uniform, even if you're an atheist, the chaplain is there to serve you. And part of the way they can serve you, even if you're not a Christian or a believer, is because of their spiritual position within the military. It places them outside and even above sometimes the chain of command. And I see this as an insidious attack on that authority they carry. Would you not agree, Chaplain?
Yes,
I hope I said it well.
An attack not only on the church, only on the chaplains, but on all of our troops, all of our and sailors and airmen and Marines who have a right to religious freedom, which has been violated now by the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. When Nancy Pelosi imposed homosexuality and her San Francisco values upon the military after a lame duck session of Congress, after the American people had repudiated her and thrown her out as Speaker of the House, she still was bold enough to impose homosexuality on the military against the will of the troops, And President Obama was complicit in this. He enforced Don't Ask, Don't Tell against the will of the troops. 85% of the surveyed troops, especially in the Marines or in combat arms divisions of the Army, opposed the homosexualization of the military. But the White House lied when they released phony polling numbers, and this was confirmed by a DOD Inspector General investigation, found that the White House released false polling data when they claimed 70% of our troops wanted open homosexuality in the military. Well, anyone who's served in the military in the last 20 years knows that's not true. There's no way 70% of our troops want open homosexuality in the military, but that's what the Obama administration said back in September, October, when they were first conducting the poll before the 2010 elections. So they forced this through with false data, and now we're paying the price, and our troops have been deceived, and our troops have now been violated by the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
There's a new lie that's not being broadcast, those of you know, I'm a 100% disabled veteran, and was career military, and I've stayed in touch with the military. I live right outside an Army base. I subscribe to the Army Times to keep in touch with what's going on in the old alma mater. About two, 3 weeks ago in the Army Times, there was an article that really disturbed me. One of the things they tout, and they keep talking about this Don't Ask, Don't Tell, is, oh, we repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and the military didn't fall apart. There's no adverse effects of repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. All the chicken littles who are crying the sky was going to fall if we repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, they were wrong. They lied. Yet on the front page of the Army Times a couple of weeks ago was a very disturbing news article about a young soldier who was brutally gang raped by his fellow soldiers in his barracks as part of a hazing incident. Now, by itself, you say, well, okay, this is something that went wrong, shouldn't have happened. Yet deeper in the article, you find out this is happening more and more across the military as part of so-called hazing. Now, the military is saying we've got to do away with hazing. Now, hazing more or less has been a part of the military from the get-go. Whether it belongs in the military or not, you know, is an article of, you know, opinion. I had to wear, you know, a cherry red helmet on my first jump out of jump school. You know, they used to have crew parties. Officers did prop blast parties when you came into the unit. It's all normally done good naturedly. Sometimes it gets out of hand, people get hurt. That needs to be dealt with on a disciplinary basis. But when a bunch of guys go in and force a young soldier who wants to serve his country down, and folks, this is, I'm trying to be as delicate as I can, and they sodomize him, there is something morally wrong with the environment. And you cannot tell me this has nothing to do with Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the repeal of the ban against homosexual behavior, and the fact that it's becoming widespread. There were incidents mentioned in this article that I dare not say over there, and I'm not trying to be, you know, lewd or whatever. There were things that you just could not believe were being done as jokes, and apparently it's become common activities. People touching each other and private areas as a joke, and these are homosexual activities being done on our young soldiers. Now I'm going to tell you something. I served 12 years. I came in at the tail end of Vietnam. I went through the drinking and the brawling. I went through. I saw the dope and whatever. But and there was a lot of bad stuff, and there's a lot of great things I saw in the military, good things that did a young man a good to serve. But this sort of thing, where sexual assault is becoming commonplace as a part of initiating young troops, I just, it just blows my. You can't tell me it's not linked.
Nobody
has connected the dots.
Pastor Wayne, is there an investigation to, you know, shouldn't there be one, some hearings on this to see, you know,
I don't
with
know.
The facts and the figures? Obama may look the other way, but certainly our representatives should not be looking the other way.
I don't know if Chaplain Klingenschmidt knows the one. Seems to me they're looking into hazing. They're going to stop hazing. You know, it's like you know you kill the cow because a gallon of her milk went sour. I'm not saying I approve of hazing. But what I'm saying is they're looking at the wrong problem. Yeah, maybe hazing is a problem, but look at the type of hazing we're talking about. This isn't making a kid get drunk until he gets sick. This isn't some of the stunts they used to do, which was bad enough. We're talking about rape here. We're talking about homosexual rape.
Well,
and it's becoming common sight.
I think, Chaplain, this is really why it's important that everybody
get involved.
What's going on, because we have an administration, and I look at your pro-life petition here on your website. We have an Obama administration that is really open doors for Planned Parenthood and open doors for the homosexual agenda, and that is one of the things that really I pray. You know, you send out letters to pastors right before the election, Chaplain. I'm thinking you're probably going to do that again with all this great information that really, you know, if they don't share it with the churches, you know, we're not going to change the leadership, because it's going to take the church really looking and repenting and doing something with what is going on out there.
Yes. In fact, I'm reading an article on WorldNetDaily.com, WND.com right now, and this just came out like 2 or 3 weeks ago, that the Army's Gold Book Report, which is their assessment of sexual assault in the last 6 years, since 2006, says that 515 rapes, 414 aggravated sexual assaults, and 349 acts of forcible sodomy were documented. By the Criminal Investigation Command, and that's an increase of over 200% since 2006 of male-on-male violent sexual assault. It was 5% in 2006 were male-on-male sexual assault. Now it's 14% of, since the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, 14% of sexual assaults in the military are men against men. So that's what the result of Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal is. Up to 9% of sexual assault victims claim to be victims of non-consensual sodomy. In other words, male-on-male rape.
That's just a coincidence, isn't it?
Well,
what's on record.
Yeah, this is on record. This is the official Army Gold Book Report. And you can find that, those results, at worldnetdaily.com.
And there's probably a lot not recorded, right, Chaplain, Pastor Wayne? But also the atmosphere is no longer on what it should be, which is really trying to defend this nation. It's you trying to defend yourself from your fellow soldier. That has to be a part of the atmosphere with this Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal.
This is what we warned about. Those of us who'd served, those of us who know the environment, who've been in combat zones, those of us who've lived in barracks areas, this is what we tried to warn about. Nobody listened.
And, Chaplain, nothing's going to really change unless the leadership changes. And so we have got to really wake up the churches, and I know you're trying to do that very hard.
Well, we tried to do that before Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed. If you Google these words, the real Pentagon poll, again, that's the real Pentagon poll, just type that into Google and you'll see the statistics on the top link come up of our press release at Christian Newswire. 91% of our troops believed that open homosexuality would have a negative impact on unit performance. 85% of combat Marine combat arms, 75% of Army combat arms, said it was negative or mixed impact on unit performance. 71% of our troops said they would not shower with someone they knew to be an open homosexual. In other words, they no longer have access because of the nature of the job. The troops have to share common shower facilities, have to share common sleeping quarters, two-man tents on the front lines, sharing a foxhole, and the homosexual will try to turn that into a date night. Going, you know, setting sail on a Navy ship, and the homosexuals are trying to turn that into the love boat. 24% of our troops said they would quit or think about leaving sooner than planned. They are not reenlisting, and that's going to eventually lead to a military draft. Because if you don't have enough voluntary troops, you can't pay them enough to share a common shower or a common bed with a homosexual, people will simply leave the military and not reenlist, and that's already happening.
Chap, I don't remember, I don't know exactly when you served, but I remember the nightmare we had when we went co-ed with the military. I mean, I had to stand guard over a female medic out in the field in Germany so she could go to the bathroom without guys speaking. That's bad enough. You know, when you've got to worry about your own buddy because you don't go out by yourself in a combat zone, you know, it's dangerous. You know, and it just blows my mind, you know, what we're putting our kids through. I mean, when you do NBC, that's nuclear biological chemical decontamination, when you think you've been hit with poison gas, one of the things you have to do, you have to go to a field shower. You have to strip down with your entire unit and get scrubbed. You got no choice in the matter. And in training, they put you through a field shower unit out there. You strip down. You have to change into clean clothes that aren't contaminated.
Well,
so those times you don't have a choice.
Well, Pastor, when these are Let me go also, and that is bad enough, the homosexual agenda.
No, I'm just giving you some
ideas,
against, you know, some examples.
Yeah, that is bad enough.
Yeah, but civilians don't
agenda,
understand.
Yeah, against our military. But I like what you've also got in your website, Chaps, which is the homosexual really agenda on our children. You've got NEA rights, homosexual lesson plans for your children. If you don't mind, speak about that, Chaplain.
Yes. This is really sad that it's beyond the military now. They want to move into public schools where your children, if they're in public schools as young as first grade or kindergarten, must be indoctrinated by their teachers to accept homosexuality as normal. Mandatory lectures to public school children promoting the gay agenda in the name of stopping what they call bullying. But it's really the homosexuals are now becoming the adult bullies of little kids, and they're forcing them to reject the Christian faith of their parents in public schools and embrace or consider homosexuality as normal. Good grief, a 6 or 7 year old kid is not even sexual yet. Why would they don't even know what sex is. Why would they get mandatory lectures about homosexual conduct? It's really sad now, but this is being promoted by Senator Al Franken from Minnesota, Senate Bill 555, the Homosexual Classrooms Act, although he has another name for it. Senator Al Franken is now going to take away federal funding from any public school that doesn't comply and create a legal liability so that the school can be sued by the parents of any, quote, homosexual child, end quote. I don't think there are any homosexual children. I think they're all recruited when they're, you know, advancing through puberty. But parents would be able to sue the school, and the school would have to pay the homosexual lawyers if they don't embrace and promote these mandatory lectures to school children. And we just saw last week what these lectures are going to look like. Dan Savage was this homosexual activist who gave a lecture in a public school setting. I think it was a conference where all the journalism students were gathered together. And he's a homosexual activist standing up in front of high school kids and junior high kids and bashing the Bible and bashing Christians and saying that Christians are bigots and anyone who believes the Bible is, you know, a discriminator, and openly slandering the Bible, slandering God, and slandering Christians. It was so offensive that 100 Christian school kids stood up and walked out in protest. And this is
the prototype of what these
lectures are going to look like in the future.
There's probably several hundred more who wanted to as well. The thing is, they're trying to get the kids, because it's like a homosexual activist said in North Carolina. You know, they had the vote yesterday where they made marriage between a man and a woman. This one homosexual activist said, this vote really doesn't make any difference in the long run. We'll come back in 10 or 20 years and win. Because the kids, they've been brainwashed through TV, through movies, through music, through the culture, to think it's okay. And they're going to keep working and working and working and working until finally they get that majority they need. And people with traditional values will be shoved in a corner, or worse, will be shuffled off and trucked off to re-education centers, which has been mentioned in some of the literature, which doesn't get a whole lot of advertising. And this is the agenda, to get the hearts and minds of the children, to grab the public school system and use it to shape the minds, hearts and minds of our children.
I think I heard of a quote that they explained. Oh, well, they mentioned on the 180, the movie by Ray Comfort, awesome movie. I think every church needs to have it and pass it on to children, I mean young people, to watch. But it says something about Adolf Hitler's quote, who owns the children owns, is it the future? Does that sound right? Who owns the children? And that's pretty much what's going on with our schools.
Well, it goes,
the agenda that owns our, go ahead.
That goes back to Proverbs. Train up a child in the way they should go. When they grow older, they won't depart from it. St. Augustine said the same thing. Give me a child before the age of six, I don't care what you do with him, he will come home. You know, it's in the hearts and minds. You know, in Hitler's Germany, they had morning prayer every morning in public. They opened up their school days every morning with a prayer. They prayed to Hitler. And this is what,
and he was,
you know,
voted in. He was voted in by the German people. So we really have to be careful. And I love, Chaplain, I really love your site. I've been reading it a little bit more, and, you know, there's so much in it, can't read it all. But, you know, I thank God for what you, I know there was a video about the L. Franken. I'm not looking at it quite where I was before, but you've got that really outlined really well. So I just ask the listeners to please go to Chaplain's website, PrayInJesusName.com, and look throughout. There's really so many things. But, Chaplain, you know, I wish the churches would just love the children enough to get out of their comfort zone, because, you know, they can't vote. They don't have a voice. And I know that God is looking at us, and he's looking at these laws. And here in Alabama, we're having to deal with Common Core, which is really their key to this indoctrination plan. I mean, you know, the homosexual agenda loves Common Core. They'll be last, you know, but they don't care, because they're looking at the future. In time, they will get their way if they're patient, you know. And that's really what's happening here, even with Al Franken's bill. If Obama gets in, right now, as you pointed out, they have got, I think, let's see, 36 senators, And they gained 5 representatives and 2 senators since last week on this article that I'm reading off of your website. But, you know, it's like they just keep on and keep on. And if Obama's in, they believe they're going to get it.
It's like a hydra. You chop off a head and 2 more come up. And they come back in different directions. They rename it. They rebottle it. They repackage it. They come back in another 2-3 years, 5 years, 10 years. They're patient. They've been working at this for 100 years.
Well, Chaplain, yeah. I'm going to try to put some of your information on something that I'm going to distribute to my church. On the other side, I'm going to put something that says, you know, what churches can and cannot do. And I know Liberty Council has one that's real simple, and I'm planning on, I've done it before. And I just urge the listeners, you know, get some of this information on one side, and on the other side, what churches can and cannot do. And when your pastor reads that, I'm pretty sure he'll do what my pastor did, which is, you know, he loves God and he loves people, and we have to be informed.
Well, we are supporting pastors' rights, and especially we hope they will participate in Pulpit Freedom Sunday, an initiative led by the Alliance Defense Fund, a bunch of Christian lawyers who are willing to defend any pastor who stands in any pulpit on any Sunday, but especially this one Sunday per year. I think it's coming up in September. Pulpit Freedom Sunday is for the pastor to endorse a political candidate for office or take a stand on a political issue during his Sunday morning sermon and dare the IRS to come after him. And the Alliance Defense Fund will defend you, because the idea is we're trying to force them to admit the 1954 Johnson Amendment is unconstitutional. There was a law passed in 1954 initiated by then-Senator Lyndon Baines Johnson of Texas, who was a Democrat who didn't like how churches were endorsing his opponent. And so he promoted and eventually passed this amendment to say that the IRS can punish churches who get involved in politics. Well, that's absolutely ridiculous. Churches have freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom of assembly, and Christians do not forfeit their right to vote, and pastors do not forfeit their freedom of speech, especially when they're standing in the pulpit. Our founding fathers fought for this liberty, and many of the churches and the Black Regiment pastors in the Revolution were instrumental in throwing off the fetters of government control of our churches and standing up for freedom, which is contained in the First Amendment. So the IRS rule is unconstitutional and unenforceable. In fact, hundreds of pastors last year participated in this initiative, and in September they chose and set aside one Sunday to preach one sermon per year about politics, and none of those churches and none of those pastors were ever prosecuted by the IRS. The IRS is a paper tiger, they're cowards, and they cannot enforce their own rules against churches, and therefore it's time for the church to be bold, to stand up and begin to get involved in politics again, and I pray that pastors will do that by joining the Pulpit Freedom Initiative.
Well, I've never understood why it was always conservative churches that got in trouble for talking politics when the liberal churches, and Bill Clinton could go into an AME church and say God was for his crime control bill, and it was publicized all over the nation and on the evening news, and nobody did a thing about that. That was okay. But you mentioned Lyndon Johnson. He was a great Democratic president. He was one of the icons of the liberal movement. And you know what his thoughts of the democratic process was or were? One of my favorite quotes from Lyndon Johnson, there were plenty of them. One of my favorite quotes was this: I don't care who they vote for, just let me count the ballots.
Well, that sounds like Stalin, you know, the communist.
Yeah, that's Lyndon Johnson. but did you mention Al Franken? And look at how he got elected.
Yeah, I saw a video. It's about a year old, but I just saw it this week. about how the felons were encouraged to vote, and they counted the votes from convicted felons who had lost their right to vote, but they showed up anyway, and they voted for Al Franken, and those votes were specifically counted at the last minute after Norm Coleman, the senator from Minnesota, had won the election by 700 votes. Then they started counting the votes of convicted felons, and that brought Al Franken up over the top, and he stole that election illegally. And now he's using that power to promote open homosexuality in public schools by writing and promoting Senate Bill 555. Sign the petition on our website, prayinjesusname.org. Again, that's prayinjesusname.org, to oppose and filibuster Senate Bill 555, the Homosexual Classrooms Act. Al Franken already has 37 Democrat co-sponsors to that bill in the Senate and 157 Democrat co-sponsors in the House to enforce homosexual lectures and make sure they're taught to public school children as low as 6 or 7 years old. It's an abomination, and Al Franken is leading that parade with the congressman from Colorado, Jared Polis, has written the House version of that, H.R. 998, which is the same bill to homosexualize our public school classrooms, written by Jared Polis, who is an open homosexual serving in Congress from Colorado. So he's working with Al Franken on that, and we need to, you know, throw both of those clowns out in the next election. The church needs to rise up and vote against the sodomy that is being promoted for your public school children.
Wow. I think God is going to hold us accountable. I think of the scripture, it's better to put a millstone around your neck. And, you know, I just really have a fear for this nation because of, well, the abortion issue and now the homosexual agenda going over the young children. Sad enough, they're going over the military. And it's really two very virulent organizations, Planned Parenthood. You know, I heard about Planned Parenthood and how they've really pretty much owned Girl Scouts. I mean, something that is so tradition and, you know, conservative structure for our girls is now something that I heard a million have left Girl Scouts. I'm thinking all of them need to leave the Girl Scouts, Chaplain.
Yes, I'm aware of the problem with the Girl Scouts, that there are some troops that are allowing lesbian troop leaders to teach, you know, pro-homosexual ideas and to teach about abortion, to teach about birth control and post-abortion, you know, post-conception abortion pills like RU46 and Plan B. They're promoting these ideas, but the one confirmation that I saw is that the Girl Scouts admitted a little boy who was confused about his gender. There was a little boy, I think it was in Colorado, who said, you know, woke up one morning 7 years old and said to his parents, "Mommy, I feel like a girl today." And mommy said, "Well, you're a boy, you know, shouldn't you do that?" He said, "No, I want to join the Girl Scouts." And so he was allowed to do that. The Girl Scouts thought about, you know, whether or not he should be admitted, and finally they let him in, because they said it should be, you know, transgender children should be allowed to explore whether or not they want to change sexes. You have a seven-year-old boy who wants to explore getting a sex change, and so the Girl Scouts are a good place for him to explore his feelings in that regard, so they let him on in.
On the other side of the spectrum, recently a six-year-old boy, I think it was up in Massachusetts, was arrested and given a criminal record for sexual harassment for singing the song "I'm So Sexy," which he heard from an M&M's commercial.
Well, a better place for your young Christian schoolgirls is American Heritage Girls. The American Heritage Girls are a Christian organization that teaches your little girls about the founding fathers and the you know, Betsy Ross and the founding mothers of our nation who, you know, taught Christian values to their children. And there's so much to be gained there by learning about the Constitution and the original, you know, heritage of America and the promise of our Christian nation. And so I would suggest that parents pull their little girl out of Girl Scouts and join American Heritage Girls.
Yeah.
And really, our people perish for lack of knowledge, and all these laws that are really, maybe passed because people are not speaking out because they lack knowledge. And that's why it's so important to go to your website, Chaplain, in Jesus' name, .org. And I was just thinking, last Friday, the Friday before Pastor Wayne, you were speaking with Mr. Henry Burke and talking about the Buffett rule. You know, this administration really has a plan, and they want us dumb and stupid. Because they're able to make class warfare, race warfare,
right.
And here, to the point that the churches, if they can silence the churches and keep on, you know, they will win, and they will get their agenda because it is going to have to be the church that will stand up. And I thank God for chaplains because
folks,
of what
you
went
through. Amen.
Go ahead.
And folks, when you finish signing the chaplain's petition, don't stop there. You get on the phone. You call your congressman, light up their switchboard. You get online. You send them email. You write them a letter. You let them know how you feel about this stuff. Because how are they going to know if we don't tell them? And a lot of times, there's so much stuff going on, and I've said this before on this show. I have called up and actually alerted my congressman in the past to things that were going on that he wasn't aware of because he's busy looking at other things. There's so much stuff going on, and they sneak this stuff in and amendments and riders, and these bills are so thick, they don't have time to read it all. And they slide this stuff in under their nose. But if you call it enough, people call and raise Cain about an issue, they realize it's important to get something. We have changed votes before by calling our congressmen, letting them know how we feel. Because if they want to stay in, they better, by gosh, listen to what we tell them. Because we go to the polls and we vote, and we'll throw the bums out. We've done it before. We can do it again.
Well, you know, Pastor Wayne, we were speaking before the show, and, you know, really, mm-hmm. Chaplain kind of reinforced what we were concerned about. We're concerned
right.
about Common Core, and here in Alabama, Chaplain, they're on the last week, you know, the state, there's a joint resolution with the representatives and the senators to really not adopt Common Core, to try to get us out of it. But guess what? They also passed, I think on the same day, they're trying to pass a law that would exactly do what Common Core wants, which is to give them a $100 million bond to give the computer equipment that it's wanting, and also another bill for the assessment, which is really the plan that's already set forth by 21st Century Skills. And, you know, for us that are trying to fight it, we understand, but you reinforce that because when you share with us what the federal government is doing, the agenda that we know is going to happen. I mean, they're already doing it with Al Franken. You're seeing it. They're not hiding it as in the future. It's already there now. It's just waiting. But and so we have to really wake up. When we hear Common Core and people don't understand what it is, it's really about trying to own your child, which is to own the future of America, because if they can point the child to think global warming is true, and, you know, homosexuality is a great lifestyle, which is really the dream of some of these leaders like Kevin Jennings, you know, for us as Christians, we know it's so. That's why it's really very important for us to get involved. And Chaplain, that's really why you got involved, because you knew that if you did not pray with your men and pray in Jesus' name, it meant eternity. If you don't mind, I love to hear that story that, you know, where you had somebody that was on a motorcycle accident and you, you know, really gave him a memorial and how your superior reacted to that memorial, if you don't mind sharing with us that.
Yes, that's fine. In 2000, 2004, I was a Navy chaplain, and then in 2005, well, shoot, I guess I went to chaplain school in late 2002. But anyway, in 2004, one of my sailors died tragically in a motorcycle wreck. And I was privileged to preach at his memorial service, which was optional attendance on a Saturday afternoon in the Christian chapel. You know, the chapel is the building with the cross on top. You might expect, if you walk into the chapel on a Saturday afternoon, you might expect to hear the chaplain quote the Bible. And that's what I did. It was advertised as a Christian worship service. It was honoring the faith of the deceased. This young man was a man who I led to faith in Jesus Christ. And I said in his memorial, I have great news. This man is not dead, but he's alive in heaven today because of his faith in Jesus Christ. And I preached the gospel that we can be forgiven of our sins, that God can resurrect us for the afterlife in heaven, the same way that Jesus was raised from the dead. We can be spiritually raised into heaven. And I quoted John 3:36. Now, this is the most controversial scripture in your Bible, and this is the scripture that got me fired. That Bible verse says, John 3:36, if anyone believes in the Son, he has eternal life. If anyone does not believe in Jesus, he does not have eternal life, for God's wrath remains upon him. Well, my commanding officer was sitting in the front row, and he rolled his eyes, and he called me into his stateroom on Monday morning. And I walked into his stateroom, and he leaned forward, and his eyes were angry, and his eagles were shining. And my commanding officer said to me, Chaplain, I've watched the videotape of your sermon 3 times, and I can't get over the fact that I heard you say that Jesus is the only way to heaven. That if we accept Jesus, then we'll go to heaven. If we don't accept Jesus, we can spend eternity in hell. And I've never accepted Jesus as my Savior, so are you telling me, your commanding officer, that I'm going to hell? And I said, sir, I never mentioned your name in my sermon. All I did was read the scriptures. And if you self-apply the scriptures to your own heart, that's really between you and God. But I will stand by the Bible. And, you know, I would offer to pray with you. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, you can spend eternity in heaven. Well, the skipper was not interested in getting saved at that particular moment. Instead, he consulted 2 liberal chaplains who told him to punish me in writing for my sermon. And he did that 3 times in writing. He wrote a letter of instruction. He downgraded my end-of-year evaluation. And finally, he told a Navy board, don't renew his contract. Kick this chaplain, Klingenschmidt, out of the Navy because he overemphasized his own faith system in his sermons and in his prayers. And so that began the controversy, which later became the end of my career.
You know, I learned one time, I had a major call me in. I was about ready to be chaptered out for being overweight. He told me I need to lose weight, and I'd done everything I could to lose weight, and it wasn't working. I said, well, sir, I've done everything I can to lose weight. He said, it must be certain you could do it. And I said, well, sir, I've given it to the Lord. And he said, faith's a good thing, Sergeant Wood, but you got to do something for yourself. I said, well, sir, I've given it to God. I've come to the conclusion that if God wants me out of the Army, there's nothing I can do to stay in. But if God wants me out, there's nothing you or anybody can do to throw me out. And I learned that sometimes Major God, he doesn't like to hear about General God, Big G. And I think that's what your commander's problem was. You know, I lost a friend that day. But I did realize at the time what I was saying. I said, you have no power over me except what God gives you. They don't like to hear that. And it turned out, my weight problem was linked to parachute injuries I'd suffered years before, and God vindicated me. And I do know wisdom's justified over children, but sometimes the road's a rough time getting there. But that's what you're dealing with when you're dealing with that power. As far as the rest goes, I remember a sermon I preached when I first started preaching, little lady come up to me and says, Peachy, you were all over my toes. I says, well, sugar, best thing to do then is get them out of the aisles. You can only preach the truth. We've got the answer for that. We're going to be stoned. You know, Stephen was stoned. They crucified Jesus. They beheaded John the Baptist. But ultimately, we have to answer for the truth that we know. It's like Peter said, you justify for yourself whether it's better to obey man or God, but I can only testify to what I've seen.
Wow.
And that's our duty and our obligation. We have to answer for that in the end.
Yeah.
And you're going to get stoned along the way. You know that, chap. You know, I mean, been there, done that. Got the
bruise. Well, my model was in Acts chapter 4. When Peter and John were called before the Sanhedrin and they were given strict instructions, you must not preach or teach or anything at all in Jesus' name. But they answered, who are you, Pharisees? Should we obey men or should we obey God? And they disobeyed men, and they obeyed God. And they kept on preaching and teaching in Jesus' name, and they were flogged in Acts chapter 5, but they rejoiced that they were found worthy to share in Christ's suffering.
And see, that's the attitude the church needs today. Sometimes we come into persecution on, oh, we've messed up. You know, God's not prospering us the way he should. Where's my Mercedes? Where's my Cadillac? It doesn't always happen like that. You know, we've got treasures laid up in heaven. And
We are spoiled. This nation, Pastor Wayne. I saw an article, and somebody had mentioned it about a lady in Louisiana who was on welfare, and she was complaining about her status. She had this big screen TV, but it was not plasma, and she had rough flooring. When
poor
you saw
thing.
The picture, you think, oh my gosh. Yeah, she does not understand what true poverty is. But I think that the enemy likes that kind of thinking, that mindset, and that's why welfare is really a slavery for some people, well, many people, unfortunately. But it's, nothing is going to set us free, but really giving it to God and praying in Jesus' name. He is able. Without faith, we can't please God, right, Chaplain? So I'm going to give it to you, and I'm believing God is not free with us yet. And he said for us to worship him in spirit and in truth, and that's what we try to promote here on the show. God has been so gracious. So.
But you know, Chap, you think about it. I know you've thought this, and God has shown this to you. You've been liberated. You've been liberated because now you're free to speak the truth as you know, and you've come from a position where they can't say, well, you don't know what you're talking about because you've been there. And it's because I know that's what I realized after I was through the fire. You know, it's not easy when you're going through it, and you ask God, where's the punchline to this joke? But then you come out on the other end and you see the wisdom, and now you can be a witness and help those that are still in the system.
Yes, and ultimately I was vindicated by the United States Congress. Congress agreed with me and reversed the bad policy that I was punished for. SECNAV Instruction 1730.7C was reversed and rescinded by an act of Congress, and they restored the rights of other chaplains to pray and preach in Jesus' name. So it was a great victory in the end, even though it was never grandfathered back to my case.
Yeah.
The American people rose up with me. 300,000 Americans signed a petition for Jesus. I had an 85% public approval rating, and Congress agreed with me and reversed the bad prayer policy that I was punished for. So we had a great victory. The American people rose up, and there was a revival. I think any time 300,000 Americans sign a petition for Jesus, that's a sign of a national revival. So
Amen.
We made a dent, and the church is taking a stand.
Amen. I mean, where would Texas be without the Alamo, right?
That's right.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you got to make the stand. You know, that's what we're saying to listeners. If you're standing right now and you feel like you're all alone, you're not. Greater is he that is in you than he's in the world. And sometimes you've got to take one for the team. but the greater victory is to come. You just got to stand.
Well, I'm so glad that Jeff is on with us today because we have a lot going on. And really across the states, not just our own legislature today and in our military, but all across the states and the nations. And God is so good. He said for us to come boldly to the throne of grace. He is merciful. So, Chaplain, would you mind leading us, sir, and asking God for help in all so many things?
Okay, let us pray. Almighty God, we pray to you in Jesus' name, and we depend on you. We ask you to protect our troops. We ask you to protect our public school children. We ask you to stop the homosexual agenda. Give us more victories like we saw last night in North Carolina, where people voted for marriage between one man and one woman, like we had a victory in Colorado, where the House of Representatives in the state last night stopped civil unions and homosexual marriages or pseudo-marriages from coming forward against the will of the people. God bless our legislators. Give them wisdom, godly wisdom, not human wisdom, but give them truth and biblical principles that they can write the laws. Father, we ask your blessing on the elections coming up, that the church would rise up and get motivated to support Christian and godly candidates, especially for the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. Thank God that Dick Lugar was defeated last night after he voted so many times with President Obama for the homosexual agenda and bad judges. God, give us men of principle who will stand up and lead not just the Tea Party movement, but the Christian movement to take back our government in Jesus' name. Father, we ask your blessing on Wayne and Diana and everyone who's listening today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chaplain. We're so glad you came in. It's very special for us as we're going through our podcast. Oh, yeah. May God heal you. Oh, and also, Chaplain, I'm going to put that on our website. I just now did a blog, www.cityonahill.tv, and on the left side, you'll see blog titles, and one of them is about really what I just posted in regard to you, setting a nation free. Churches must speak. There's a link to Liberty Council, which I suggest you print on the back side, and on the front side, get some of the points from the Pray in Jesus' Name website. So go to Pray in Jesus' Name, and it'll go to Chaplain's website and, you know, get some of those things that he's concerned. As a matter of fact, get involved with the petitions. I've done that. We'll do that. I mean, these petitions, Chaplain, they make a difference. If you don't mind, just give them an example of where it's made a difference.
Excuse me, yes. We have sent 4 million fax petitions to Congress in the last 4 years, and just this year, in the last 12 months, we have defeated 4 liberal judges who were denied confirmation by the U.S. Senate. And just by petitioning your senators, we instantly faxed all 100 senators with your petition, and that only takes a minute, one click of the mouse. How long would it take you to send 100 faxes to all 100 senators or even all 435 congressmen? We can do that instantly. We save you a lot of time, and we've had great victories for free speech, not just in the U.S. Congress, but around the country. We've had 10 legislative victories or courtroom victories to restore free speech for people who pray in Jesus' name. So support our ministry. Please donate if you can at prayinjesusname.org, and at least sign up for our free email newsletter. Every Sunday we publish 7 one-minute prayers for the coming week. If you have 1 minute every day to pray for America, then sign up for our prayers at prayinjesusname.org, the free newsletter, and we'll send you those prayers every Sunday for the coming week.
Praise the Lord.
Wow, thank you, Chaplain. Well, Pastor Wayne, if listeners don't know what to do right there, you know, Chaplain just outlined it. Go to his website, Pray in Jesus' Name. You know, fill out some of those petitions. There's a free one. And also, I would suggest going to www.cityonhill.tv. And on one side, print the Liberty Council on what churches can and cannot do. And on the another side, I'm gonna start doing articles, and I ask that you do too, Mr. Wayne, with points on it that can be printed on these sheets. We'll have the Liberty Council printed on the other side, but we have got to, in mass, really give knowledge to the churches. Because I think once they know Chaplain and Pastor Wayne, I think they're going to act. And you've got some great information. We're going to share it. So thank you, sir. And Pastor Wayne, I'm going to let you have the last word and close us.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about back when I was still in the Army, and I'd just gotten rededicated my life to the Lord and was answering my call. And one night I was out on guard duty. I was sergeant of the guard, and I had a young troop there. And, you know, I was a Christian, was asking me about God. And you have to be very careful in the military about proselyte. But if the troops come up and ask you, you can share. And I was sharing with him. And he says, well, why are you so interested? He says, why are you so interested in telling me about Jesus, Sergeant Wood? And I said, listen, I've got to tell you about Jesus. I said, because there's going to come a day when I'm going to have to stand before the Lord, and there's going to be a judgment coming. And I'm going to be rewarded according to my work somehow. And I'm not saved by what I do, but I'm going to be rewarded according to my works. But there are going to be people who aren't saved, who have accepted Jesus. They're going to be tossed into the lake of fire. And I don't want the Lord to look at me when he's getting ready to drop kick you off into the lake of fire and look at me and say, Sergeant Wood, why didn't you warn him when you had the chance? I don't want that on my conscience. We are going to have to answer somehow. We are saved by grace, not by works. But we're going to have to answer for everything we do and fail to do on this earth. If this country goes to hell like it looks like it's going, I don't want, and I'm speaking personally now, I don't want the Lord to say, Wayne, you didn't do everything you possibly could to save it when you had the chance. And that's a responsibility each and every one of us. We can't force people to get saved. We can't make people listen to us, but we have a duty to tell the truth as we know it. And in America, we have such an abundant opportunity to have our voice heard. The lights aren't completely out yet. Chaplain Klingenschmidt's site, our site, has many opportunities and things that you can do. Don't even have to leave your home sometimes. What's a phone call? What's an email? What's a fax? What's putting your name on a petition? Pray about it. Think of what Jesus did for you. What are we going to do for him? And yeah, I'm putting you on a guilt trip. But that's okay too. God bless you.